want to continue to pray for the Honduras team and look forward to the reports from those guys as they come back from their trip. We also have a group that's planning and getting ready for a trip to Spain in October, and we're looking forward to that, to be with Scott and Cindy Hunter, who are down here with us this morning. Some of our former members, former staff, as well as members, and look forward to spending the time with them in Spain. Missions is an important part of Southern Baptist life. It was in May of 1845 that the Southern Baptist Convention came into existence. And from the beginning, Southern Baptists have felt strongly that one of the primary roles of the church as a whole is evangelism and missions, to share the gospel of Christ to all the nations of the world. Now, it would therefore seem logical that our confessional statement, the statement which outlines our basic doctrinal beliefs, should include a section on evangelism and missions. Well, if you've looked at the Baptist Faith and Message lately, I know you got one out yesterday and did some casual reading. But Article 11 of the Baptist Faith and Message, in case you haven't read it lately, it's going to be up here on your screen in just a moment. The Article 11 of the Baptist Faith and Message reads like this: "It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of love for others." This is what Greg was talking about earlier, that once we've come to know Christ, that love of God which we have experienced, we now want to share with others. He goes on to say, "Missionary effort on the part of all rests thus upon a spiritual necessity of the regenerate life and is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle and by other methods in harmony with the gospel of Christ." This morning, we want to look at two key components of this article, missions and evangelism, and see how important these two things are to us as Baptists. Now, there are a number of passages which are behind Article 11 of the Baptist Faith and Message, but I've only chosen two this morning, the two which I think are the most recognizable: Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Luke records for us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses," Jesus is saying, "in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And in Matthew 28, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." As we see, congregation, Jesus wants his followers to be his witnesses to the world. Now, we're to take the gospel of salvation and share it with others, those within our families, those that live in our neighborhood, those we work with, people we go to school with, those that are nearby, those that are far away. We are to offer them the opportunity to know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to tell them of his love, and we are to invite them to accept his offer of forgiveness and his gift of eternal life. the making of disciples, which is what Jesus is talking about there in the Great Commission. Go, therefore, he says, and make disciples of all nations. The making of disciples is something that God has entrusted, listen, to every Christian. Not just pastors, not just missionaries, and not just evangelists, but to every Christian. More importantly, it is something he has commanded. Really, we don't have a choice as followers of Jesus Christ but to be about the task of evangelism and missions. Friend, we are messengers or ambassadors sent from heaven's throne to be representative of God's kingdom to this world. That's why Southern Baptists feel so strongly about evangelism and missions. The takeaway from the message this morning is this: Baptists affirm certain core beliefs and practices, among which are evangelism and missions, that we feel are essential to our ongoing walk with God. Now, we've looked at six core beliefs and practices that Southern Baptists are strongly committed to. We've already talked about things like the Bible, religious liberty, the priesthood of the believer, regenerate church membership, the offices of the church, pastors and deacons, and the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Today we want to look at two other practices that Baptists feel strongly about, and that is evangelism and missions. So let's look first at evangelism. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you go back to the text, Jesus says there, "You will be my witnesses." What he's simply saying to his followers is, you're to tell my story. They were to share the good news of the gospel to everyone, everywhere. In other words, they were to be engaged in evangelism. So Baptists are committed to evangelism, to sharing the gospel of Christ with others. This commitment to evangelism is a priority of Baptists, and it's evident in just about every aspect of Baptist life. It's not just something we do that's out there on the fringe. It is a part of everything that we do. I have shared with the staff over and over that every time we do something, whether it's a fellowship, whether it's a fun event, whether it's a youth camp, whether it's a VBS, whether it's a worship service like this, whether it's a musical production, whatever we do, there ought to be the result, the goal of leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that as a whole, that we as a staff and as a congregation, I think that we do that the best that we can. Now, could we do better? Yes, we can always do better. But I am proud to say that I believe, and let me just say this, this coming church year, beginning the August the 23rd or the 30th, our emphasis for the new church year is going to be evangelism. That's what we're going to be emphasizing and talking about throughout this next church year. We want to train our people to be engaged in evangelism at any time, anywhere, with anyone. And so evangelism is an important part of who we are, not only as Southern Baptists, but as a church as well. We believe that evangelism is every Christian's responsibility, not just those who are on the staff, not just missionaries out there on the field, or not just those who are trained evangelists. Although some people are gifted as evangelists, we know that that is a spiritual gift. As followers of Christ, every one of us are to share the gospel. This is one aspect of the Bible's teaching. Remember, we've already talked about the priesthood of the believer. And the one aspect of the priesthood of the believer we need to really be concerned about is the fact that every believer priest is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, how, you know, I hear that, Pastor Rick. I know I'm supposed to be a witness. I just don't know how I'm supposed to do that. How are we as a church to do that? It's a legitimate question. How are we to share our faith? What are we to do to share His story? The story of salvation, the good news of the gospel with the people that God places in our lives. Well, let's talk about some means of evangelism. I want to give you six. There are probably many more, but I want to give you six general means. These are not specific, but these are general means of sharing our faith. First, we engage in evangelism by living a positive Christian life. By living a positive Christian life before the people that you live with in your home, in your neighborhood, people you work with, people you go to school with. Just live out the Christian life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away and all things are becoming new. Now think about it for just a moment. A life that has been transformed, a life that has genuinely been turned from its old sinful ways, from its old lifestyle, and is now living for the Lord Jesus Christ, is attractive to the world. People see a person who used to act one way, who used to have certain group of friends, who used to say things and do things that maybe they themselves do, or they know that is not characteristic of someone who would claim to be a Christian. And now they see this person who used to be one way, living another way, and they see this person now becoming a more loving person, a more gentle person, a person who has cleaned up their language, a person who doesn't go to the places they used to go to, hang with the people they used to hang with. This person is genuinely different. That's appealing to the people who know them. What turns the world off to Christianity is hypocrisy. Saying one thing and doing another. You claim to be a Christian. You claim to go to church. But there in the workplace, when things don't go right and you lose your temper and you say things you shouldn't say, or you do things that you know go against what God teaches in His Word, you behave in a way that you know you shouldn't, and people see that and they hear you say one thing but they see something else, that is damaging to Christianity. But living a holy life is a powerful witnessing tool. It is a great way to communicate the gospel. People are drawn to sincere, godly behavior. In fact, since you've become a Christian, and you run into people who used to know you before you became a Christian, and they don't see much difference between who you were then and now, that might be alarming to me. Baptists realize that one of the best ways we have to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ is to live a genuine Christian life before the world. However, we don't think that just living the Christian life is the only way to be a witness. Just living the Christian lifestyle cannot adequately communicate the essential truth of the gospel. Words are necessary. So a second means of engaging in evangelism is preaching the word, by preaching the word. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he issues this charge to his young colleague in the ministry, Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Friend, preaching in a worship service such as this usually carries an evangelistic emphasis, regardless of what the topic may be, regardless of what the sermon is primarily dealing with. Baptists believe that every service should be concluded with an invitation to accept Christ as Savior and Lord. We also conduct special evangelistic services where people are specifically urged to believe in Christ, to trust in Christ. Preaching the word is a primary means of evangelism. A third means of evangelism, engaging in evangelism, is by teaching. Jesus said there in Matthew 28, 19, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Southern Baptists consider that small groups that meet together have a dual purpose. In other words, the purpose of the group is to teach the Bible. The purpose of the group is to teach the Word of God. But I can remember when Sunday school used to have as one of its primary purposes not just to teach the Bible, but to make sure that the people in those Sunday school classes knew whether they were a believer or not. I've shared with you, I know on a dozen occasions, about that one Sunday school teacher I remember more than any other. When I was starting seminary, I was in a single Sunday school class in Dallas, Texas, and I don't care if there were three of us in that room or 30 of us in that room, he would end every Sunday school lesson by presenting the plan of salvation and asking, does anybody need to pray and accept Christ today? Teaching. One of our goals in teaching through Sunday school is evangelism. That's why we conduct programs like Vacation Bible School. That's why we have youth and children's camps. All of these contain an evangelistic element with the intent to share the gospel and see people come to Christ. We saw some conversions this summer with our youth while they were at camp. And as you've already heard this morning, this past week, 22 children gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by teaching them the Word of God through teaching, through videos, through music. They were being taught the Word of God. And 22 of them responded in faith. So teaching the word is a means of evangelism. Another means of engaging in evangelism is by ministering to human needs. Jesus emphasized how important it is that we serve the needs of humanity. He gives a long discourse on this in Matthew chapter 25, in verses 31 through 46. James, if you go back and read James's letter, which is what I did my doctoral dissertation on, it was on social action ministry, why that is important for us as believers. But James says ministry of this kind is the way by which we prove the validity of our own faith. Baptists have always been involved in this kind of ministry, in meeting the needs of people, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. For example, we have ministries like North Carolina Baptist Men. We have Campers on Mission. We have North Carolina Baptist Children's Home. Each of these programs, each of these ministries' purpose is twofold: to meet physical, mental, and emotional needs, and at the same time, to meet spiritual needs by sharing the gospel with those they help. Most Baptists believe that needs are not adequately met if we're just meeting physical needs and not spiritual needs. So when we engage in ministry to meet human need, this is a way for us to be engaged in evangelism. A fifth means of engaging in evangelism is by providing evangelism training. Evangelism training. Each state convention, like our own North Carolina Baptist State Convention, has departments staffed with people. That's all they do. They go to churches and they train churches, staff, and lay people on how to be better when it, as it relates to evangelism. They conduct evangelistic conferences, and they provide evangelistic training to inspire and instruct Baptists in evangelism. Each of our Southern Baptist seminaries, you can't get a degree from our Southern Baptist seminaries without taking two evangelism courses, one on personal soul winning and second on church evangelism. You have to take those two courses in order to graduate from our Southern Baptist seminaries. Why? Because we believe evangelism is that important. A sixth means of engaging in evangelism is probably the most important, and that is prayer. Prayer plays a prominent role in Baptist evangelistic efforts. In fact, prayer ought to undergird every aspect of evangelism. We pray that Christians will boldly share the gospel. We pray that the people that are hearing the gospel will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, just like these men that are going out. I'll get to that in a minute when I talk about missions, but they're going to be witnessing. They're going to be sharing the gospel. So we pray for them to be bold in their witness, but we also pray for those whom God will put in before them, that they'll have the opportunity to share the gospel, that the Holy Spirit will already be preparing their hearts to accept the message that they will be sharing. The work of evangelism should be undertaken by every Bible-believing church, and as far as possible, by every member should be a soul winner, should be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, Baptists are an evangelistic people, and we utilize many means to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, the second practice that I want to talk about this morning that Baptists are strongly committed to, besides evangelism, is missions. Again, look what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples," and don't miss those next three words, "of all nations." Baptists are committed to both evangelism and missions. Now, the two terms are interrelated but distinct. For instance, evangelism basically involves sharing the gospel of Christ with people in word and deed. Just sharing the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, with people in word and deed. Missions involves sending people to share the gospel with people with whom they normally would have no contact. Being sent by Jesus on mission is part of what it means to follow Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Most Baptists insist that the Bible's teachings make missions mandatory. Missions is not a choice. It's mandatory by the Lord himself. It's not optional. Voluntary cooperation by individuals and churches for missions is in accord with the practice of the New Testament churches. That's why we have mission organizations like the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board here in our Southern Baptist Convention. We believe that missions is an important part of who we are because of what the Bible says. Now, let me just say this. The Bible is a missionary book. The Bible doesn't just talk about missions. It is a missional book. From its beginning in Genesis chapter 12 to its conclusion in Revelation chapter 5, we see Revelation 7 verse 9. We see the Bible sets forth God's desire that all the people of the world know him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite passages in all the Word of God is in Revelation chapter 7, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Look what it says. I think it's up there on the screen. After this, John says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Look. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Friend, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to that day that we're all standing before the throne of God and you look around and it is not going to be predominantly a white audience. I just want to inform you of that. There are going to be people from every nation, from every culture, from every language, every color of skin, every nationality, they're going to be there standing before the throne of God in white robes, and we're all going to be singing and praising God and giving glory to him and to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you something. That's what churches ought to look like down here today. Because church ought to be preparation for heaven. We ought to have the kind of churches that represent what heaven is going to be like. The Bible records that the early followers of Christ affirmed missions. They declared the gospel was for everyone, everywhere. The first churches sent out missionaries. You go through and you read the book of Acts, and that's all they're talking about are people going out from the churches, going out and surmounting barriers of geography and language and culture and spreading the gospel. Scott and Cindy are here this morning. Ask them about what they had to do in order just to get to Spain and to go through learning the culture, learning the language, and even to this day, and they've been there now for 4 years, they are still working through difficulties just to get the gospel to people. But one day, in that throng of people around the throne of God, people like the Hunters, people like Dennis and Lita Blackman, who've been to Brazil, given their life to missions in Brazil, people like Tim and Marcia Judy, who gave 3 years in Ukraine, there are going to be people, and people from this church who've been on volunteer mission trips around the world and across many of at least 4 or 5 states here in America doing home missions. There are going to be people that you were able to lead to the Lord standing there in a white robe praising God along with you and your loved ones. That's what missions is all about. Friend, we're to follow the example of the early church. We're to spread the word of salvation in the power of the Holy Spirit with the knowledge that whosoever believes in Jesus can be saved. Mission activity involves personal witnessing and church planting, as well as various forms of ministry such as medical, educational, agricultural, construction. But our ultimate goal is always to share the gospel in word and deed. So wherever people without the gospel are located, there is a site for missions. We at Cornerstone, like I said, we have sent missionaries out from here on short-term mission trips as volunteers. We are glad to have people that have started out on short-term mission trips, such as Scott and Cindy, who are now giving their life to full-time missions. People like the Judys, who went for 3 years. But I thank God for the hundreds of volunteers from this church, and I mean hundreds of volunteers from this church, who have gone to places here in America like Kentucky, West Virginia, Connecticut, Louisiana, and Georgia, among other places, and outside of America. Listen to this. Here are the list of countries that I could think of. There may be one or two more, but I think I covered them all. Ukraine, India, Nepal, Haiti, Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador, Honduras, Venezuela, South Africa, and Spain. Missions is always to be an important part of who we are. Southern Baptists support missions in various ways. We send a portion of our tithes and offerings to the cooperative program. In our case, 10.5% from every dollar that comes into this church goes to the cooperative program. We also send another 2.5% to the Piedmont Baptist Association, meaning 13% of every dollar goes directly to missions. On top of that, we give sacrificially above our tithes to two major mission offerings: the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which goes for international missions, and the Annie Armstrong offering, which goes to home missions. Financial support is always voluntary. However, strong appeals are made for people to give sacrificially to these offerings. Friends, Southern Baptists have written and continue to write a huge chapter in the story of missions. If there's no other reason for you to be proud to be a Southern Baptist, it ought to be because of Southern Baptist participation in worldwide mission causes. However, much yet needs to be done. And as we work in, as we give to, and as we pray for the mission fields of the world, God can use us to make a huge difference in the lives of millions of men and women, boys and girls, who will one day gather before the throne of God. And just imagine, you're standing there one day, as you will, and you look around and you see that little girl, that little boy, you see that older gentleman on a park bench that I saw in Ukraine, an old gentleman in his 90s sitting on a park bench, and the 10-year-old son of Pastor Mac Brunson, Wills Brunson, is taking a pamphlet that has both the English and Ukrainian language written on it, and that 10-year-old boy is going over the plan of salvation with that 90-year-old gentleman, and at the end of his presentation, that man prays and receives Christ as Savior and Lord. So don't tell me you can't lead someone to Christ. He was working through the barrier of the language barrier and cultural barrier, and was able to lead an older gentleman to faith in Jesus Christ. And one day, that little boy, who's now a young adult, will see that old gentleman with a white robe on, standing before the throne of God, praising the Father and the Lamb. Missions. Listen, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. H.E. Dana once said, "The rankest heresy of which a church can be guilty is to ignore or repudiate its missionary obligation." I thank God that missions is at the heart of who we are as Southern Baptist. Friend, if you were completely convinced that heaven and hell exist and that there is only one way to inherit heaven and escape hell, would you tell people about it? Would you pray and work to help your family, your friends, to come to know the truth? Or would you bury your head in the sand and live your life without any consideration for the eternal welfare of your loved ones, the people you say you love and care dearly about? And what about the people we don't know? Would you have any interest in trying to get the word out to people you have never met? Would you go outside your comfort zone to unfamiliar places to issue a warning that without Jesus Christ, they are headed toward an imminent hell? Would you want them to go to heaven and stay out of hell? Can I just say, Southern Baptists did not come up with the biblical concept of heaven and hell. It was given to us from God. We don't want people to go to hell to pay for their sins. In fact, if you ask most Southern Baptists would probably tell you, we want everyone to go to heaven. But the reality is, we know that everyone won't. Friend, if you're an unbeliever, you may resent the Christian message. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus presented the truth himself about heaven and hell. It doesn't change the fact that the prophets and the apostles themselves wrote about these things in their sacred writings. Think about it this way. If while walking down your street, you saw a house on fire, would you call 911? And if you saw a child inside the front door, or maybe through the glass, and they were beating on the glass, and you could tell they were screaming and crying, trying to escape the flame, would you run inside, snatch that child from certain death? If so, you are similar to a Southern Baptist who feels the same way about the reality of hell and the danger that many people find themselves in today. Friend, the Bible tells believers in Jude 23, it says this, save others by snatching them out of the fire. The next time you hear somebody ridiculing Southern Baptist for making much of heaven and hell, just remember why we do it. In spite of our numerous imperfections, and there are many, we simply want to help as many people as possible escape hell and gain heaven. That's why evangelism and missions are at the heart of who we are as a denomination. And may they always be at the heart of who we are as a church. Because one day, when we stand before the throne, who knows whom we might see that God enabled us to be the one to witness to that soul who's standing there in that white robe, loudly singing praises to God and to the Lamb. Stand with me if you will.